With spring cleaning in full swing, the Marshall County roads become dump sites. March and April are the highest months for reports of items left in the ditches along the roadways. Sheriff Joel Phillips describes what they find.
We're experiencing a high volume of trash dumps in our rural areas of Marshall County. These are typically found in our rural ditches and along the roadways sometimes. You know, these include construction waste, electronic equipment, household garbage, yard waste, clothing, appliances, furniture, and most recently is our higher volume of tire dumps.
This is illegal, and trash in the roadways can be tracked back to you. He advised you to use third-party haulers to manage your waste.
And you can't protect yourself if you do use those contractors for cleanup. Just simply ask for a landfill receipt to avoid the discarded waste being tracked back to the property through our investigation process.
And another concern is when you're driving, you see a vehicle on the side of the road. Joel discusses the Iowa pullover law.
If there's a vehicle pulled over alongside the roadway, you are required to move over to an adjacent lane as long as it's safe or reduce to an appropriate speed when going by those vehicles that have end up on the side of the road.
The Iowa House passed the Iowa Apprenticeship Bill to help support students pursuing the trades in Iowa. State Representative David Blom tells us more about the bill.
They're high demand, high pay, high-skilled jobs, and it takes time to learn, and it takes expertise, and it takes time learning from people who've done it for many, many years.
And it isn't just about the trades, but it is.
The Iowa Apprenticeship Bill, and so it provides $9.5 million for both the union trades and community colleges to partner with different trades.
And it isn't just about those trades.
Teacher apprenticeships and paraeducator apprenticeships. And it really helps create a more diversified path for people to find high-paying careers here in Iowa where we have jobs ready to go.
June 2nd is the primary election to determine who will be on the November 3rd ballot. Nan Benson, Marshall County Auditor and Recorder, tells us about who and what the election is for.
The primary election is actually a nomination process for who's getting on the ballot for the two parties, Democrat, Republican, for the election on November 3rd.
You can start requesting absentee ballots Wednesday, May 13th. Nan tells us that you can choose a different party than your primary party when voting.
You have to choose a ballot. You have to pick one or the other. And I know people, they don't always stay the same party. They normally vote most things because maybe they've got a friend or somebody they're real passionate about on the other ballot, and they want to vote for them, and that's fine.
Nan says you can always re-register to your preferred party after the primary is over. Summer camps are getting started at the YMYWCA, including T-ball. Kim Jazz Ramirez tells us what it's all about next month.
Yeah, actually, our T-ball starts a little bit earlier. Kids who are doing maybe other programs in the summer, they'll be ready to do that. But we have T-ball starting in May 4th, and we do them on weeknights. And so, again, it kind of leaves the weekends free if kids are doing other activities.
The Y has a nice space for T-ball with two groups of ages.
Tuesdays, we have ages 4 and 5. And then on Thursdays, we have ages 6 through 8. And it's really neat the way we do our T-ball because we've got a really nice space here at the Y, and it's great for spectators to come watch. And just it's a really good opportunity for kids to learn the fundamentals.
The Marshalltown Public Library Director, Sarah Rosenblum, tells us about what's going on at the library.
I think a lot of people think it's a book warehouse. That's where the books live. And there's so much more to it, just the use of the space, all the materials, hot spots, whether or not we like them. They bring a lot of, I don't know if joy, but people need them. Our digital use is huge.
Sarah updates us on the progress of the library construction.
It's going well. We do have a little bit of delay on light fixtures. So when you drive by and you see the lights on at night, it's because those are hardwired in work lights, so I can't turn them off. But and I think the building work's going to be done, but we're going to have a delay on furniture.
Completion of construction is scheduled to be done this summer. Senate Republican leader Mike Klemisch says it could be possible to reverse the Senate's rejection of the governor's pick to head the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Last week, Senate Democrats blocked Interim Director Larry Johnson's appointment to be the agency's permanent director. There are not enough Republicans in the Senate to reach the 34 votes necessary to confront confirmation. Two Republican senators are battling health issues, so Klemisch will have to recruit at least three Democrats to join Republicans to confirm Johnson before the legislature adjourns. We'll have to have a conversation and retool, Johnson says, and it's not unprecedented for senators from the party that opposes the sitting governor to refuse to confirm a governor's appointments. But Klemisch says Democrats broke Senate tradition by failing to notify Reynolds in advance that they did not support Johnson's nomination.
Tradition's always been, if there's a concern with a nominee, that concerns relate to the governor. The governor makes those appointments. Then the governor has some choices to make in regards to that.
That gives governors who have been faced with situations the option to withdraw nominees before a confirmation rejection vote is held. Johnson's rejection last week came immediately after the Senate failed to confirm Todd Abramson of Reynolds Park to a seat on the Iowa Board of Education. Abramson recently retired after serving as superintendent of the Okoboji School District. Senator Molly Donahue, a Democrat from Marion, says Abramson's public support of Governor Reynolds' 2024 reorganization of area education agencies is the reason for her no vote.
His record shows a willingness to undermine the very system that keeps our public schools functioning, especially in rural Iowa. By supporting efforts that weakened our area education agencies, he has contributed to dismantling essential services like special education support, educator training, and shared resources that small districts simply cannot replace on their own.
Senator Lynn Evans, a Republican from Orilla, who's chairman of the Senate Education Committee, says Abramson has been a teacher, coach, principal, and superintendent over his 25-year career as an educator.
Debbie, I've worked closely with Todd Abramson on many issues. He is known across the state for his student-centered initiatives in every stop he's made.
Before his 9-year stint in the Okoboji School District, Abramson worked at Pocahontas Area Community Schools, Grinnell, Newburgh, Sigourney, Tri-County in Thornburgh, West Central in Maynard, and Manson, Northwestern Webster. The Senate Republican leader has issued a preliminary hold. That means Abramson's nomination also could be revived if a few Democrats change their votes. Senate Democratic leader Janice Wiener says, so far this year, Democrats have voted to confirm all but two of the 161 nominees Reynolds appointed to serve on state boards and commissions and to lead state agencies. Wiener says rejecting someone for a leadership role in the largest state agency is not unprecedented. It is 12:10. We'll be back with more news after this.
Hy-Vee shoppers, this is David from your local Hy-Vee. We have things priced just right this week with California fresh strawberries, only $6.88 for a 4-pound package. That's just $1.72 per pound. Select varieties of General Mills cereal, only 99¢ with a digital coupon and purchase of 4. Gatorade 8-pack bottles, $4.99 with an instant coupon. And Hy-Vee shredded cheese, just 5 for $10. It's all about protein this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Save all weekend on your favorite protein-packed items. Thank you for shopping your local Hy-Vee.
Welcome back. It's 12:10, cloudy skies and 65 degrees. Let's go back to our newsroom with Andy Schwann.
Thanks, Kyle. The Iowa Senate has voted to establish a new tax on vaping products, the electronic cigarettes, that heat liquid that turns into vapor that's inhaled. Senator Kara Warmey, a Republican from Ames, says the first $3 million of revenue from the tax would go toward pediatric cancer research at the University of Iowa.
I understand that the level of tax we're looking at here is not likely to be enough to deter usage, but it is enough to create this investment in pediatric cancer research that we all want to get behind, with any remaining funds going to the Healthcare Trust Fund for funding Medicaid in our state, which again is impacted by the costs of these addictive products.
The tax rate is far less than the state tax on cigarettes. Senator Janet Peterson, a Democrat from Des Moines, favors a significant hike in taxes for all nicotine products sold in Iowa.
We're still in the very beginning of the budgeting process. There's still time for a better bill to get more money to pediatric cancer sooner. And I know the House has done that. I do believe that we need an ongoing funding stream for this, and more so beyond pediatric cancer, but for all different types of cancers that Iowans are facing right now.
The House this week voted to set aside $3 million a year for research into pediatric cancer research and clinical trials of treatments geared specifically for children. The House plan does not include a tax increase. The Senate bill would also create a new tax on nicotine patches and gum. Lawmakers are entering the 16th week of this year's legislative session with an overall state spending target, but House and Senate Republicans have not yet agreed on a property tax reform plan. Senate Republican leader Mike Klemisch says key lawmakers spent the weekend starting to iron out the details of a $9.6 billion state budget. That's about 1.4% increase. One step closer to us getting out of here this year, Klemisch said. Even though the path may appear to be simple, it often lies hidden in complexities. You know, I think both the House and Senate are very optimistic that we're close to coming to consensus on some of these major issues, but have in front of us, which leads us to a path to adjourn. Major differences remain between the property tax plans, House and Senate Republicans favor. Senate Republicans propose a limit on property tax growth that would range between 2 and 5% based on the inflation rate, while House Republicans proposed a hard cap of 2%. House Speaker Pat Grassley says there may be a way to produce a hybrid of the two plans, but Republicans in the House believe there must be a firm constraints that provide certainty for property owners.